The letters in the Postbag this week comment on cyclists, e-scooters, the power of nature, and microchipping your cat. David Kirby of Norwich wants cyclists banned from walkways. Back in late April, I was hit by a cyclist while walking in the pedestrianised area of London Street in Norwich. The handlebars of the bicycle went straight into my ribcage. I can tell you that it was incredibly painful. So much so that 3 days later I ended up in A&E to check for broken ribs and internal injuries. I was lucky I didn't have any broken ribs, but it took a whole 4 or 5 weeks before I could consider myself almost back to normal, and even now, 8 weeks later, I can still feel pain. It seems that cyclists can ride anywhere they like these days. They are everywhere, roads, cycle lanes, pavements and pedestrianised area of the city centre. And it's often a mixture of all these in one journey as they dangerously weave their way through city and town centres, skipping from the road or cycle lane up onto the pavement to avoid red traffic lights, then back onto the road once they pass the lights. But it's even worse in some of our pedestrianised areas. I have seen cyclists countless times zigzagging their way around people at ridiculous speeds from all directions, narrowly missing children, elderly people, mothers with buggies, pets, and so on. I have often felt the rush of wind as crazy cyclists whizzes past me from behind with inches to spare as they race off into the distance, oblivious and doing the same to everyone in their way, hardly ever ringing their bells, of course. It would only take one of those people, a playful child, an unexpecting old age pensioner, or indeed anyone, to suddenly decide to change direction at the last second, and the result could be an horrendous accident. And of course, these days, we have electric bikes and scooters, which are even faster and heavier. I have no idea statistically how many accidents occur that involve cyclists hitting pedestrians, but my bet is that it is on the increase. Let's stop it, please, before people are killed or seriously injured.
And still on the subject of two wheels, there is mixed information on scooter rules, comments Paul Milner of Sheringham. When I read Norfolk County Council is giving the green light to double the number of electric scooters in Norwich, my reaction was, that is an accident, or two, or three, or four, waiting to happen. There is so much conflicting information out there, ranging from, they're not classed as a road vehicle, so you won't need to have it registered. It's technically a PLEV, personal light electric vehicle, and so is exempt from road rules. This means you don't need to have any kind of driving licence, tax or insurance for it. Then, at the other end of the scale, we read, it is illegal to use your electric scooter on public land, such as a road, unless you can make sure of the following. That you have insurance for your e-scooter. It has lights, number plates and indicators. Your e-scooter has an MOT. Bearing all that in mind, it's fingers crossed that Cabinet members for Highways, Graham Plant, has got all his ducks in a row before Norwich is assailed by hundreds of their electric accidents waiting to happen.
Cats Matter, a feline road traffic accident group, write in to let cat owners know they must comply with the law. This is a reminder to cat owners as the clock counts down and the new rules come into effect. Cat owners who do not take action to microchip their cats by the deadline will be breaking the law and risk facing a £500 fine. From the 10th of June, all cats in England must be microchipped and registered on a database by the time they reach 20 weeks old. Failure to do so could land owners with a hefty fine. And the legislation gives local authorities the power to confiscate cats and microchip them before returning them to the owner and handing them the bill. Recent reports suggest that 25% of cats are currently not microchipped, which is almost 3 million cats. Once the new law comes into force, owners found without their cat microchipped will have just 21 days to have one implanted. We have done the hard part to get the law changed. Now it's down to cat owners to make sure this is the success we know that it can be and will be. For veterinary practices, animal welfare organisations and local councils, it can be incredibly challenging to reunite unchipped pet cats with their owners if they are missing or have been stolen. Microchipping is an inexpensive procedure, it's fairly simple and quick to do, and can save owners the heartache of never getting their cats back or never having closure should the worst happen, and could save a cat's life. Sadly, we see all the time where road accident victims end up being euthanized with simple cuts and bruises because no owner could be located via a microchip. When a cat is found roadside and taken to a vet, the microchip can be read with a scanner and the registered keeper identified on a database so the pet can quickly be reunited with them. When they are not microchipped, it is the vet's discretion what to do, but they are only obliged by law to administer pain relief, which could mean euthanasia. We would urge owners to comply with the new law because it is working for them and their cats, not against.
Our final letter comes from Peter Franzen, OBE, who asks, would bats also move like eagles from Ukraine? A lot can be learned from nature, and often we underestimate the intelligence and adaptability of wildlife. This was brought home to me when I read a news item taken from the journal Current Biology. It reported that greater spotted eagles had changed their migration routes across Ukraine to skirt around dangers, including artillery fire, jets, tanks, and heavy fighting in northern Ukraine. Scientists from the Estonian University of Life Sciences and the British Trust for Ornithology studied GPS data from tagged birds as the endangered species made its way from Greece and the Sud to breeding grounds in Belarus. The findings reveal the birds made large deviations from their previously tracked routes. They also spent less time spotting at their usual refueling sites in Ukraine or avoided them entirely. Researchers started following them using GPS tracking devices in 2017, but didn't expect to be monitoring them through an active conflict zone 5 years later. There is no information in the report suggesting what impact this detour may have on the breeding figures of the eagles. Closer to home, I wondered whether Barbastal bats are as intelligent as eagles and whether they too might successfully adapt their behaviour to accommodate a proposed Western Link road by roosting a bit further away from the road. This may be naive optimism, but while I can understand it might disturb the bats, I have yet to see any empirical evidence that shows a new road would have a long-term adverse effect on the breeding of the endangered species. Of course, the delays which have led to spiralling costs of building the Western Link in any of its various options may make worries about the bats purely academic.